Hey there, welcome to LSAT Demon Daily. I'm Lily Taylor, that's Delia McDevitt. We're teachers and tutors at LSAT Demon, and today we're tackling an admissions question from a listener. Delia, do you want to read the email here?
Yeah, absolutely. So listener Ann says, "Hi team, I want to share a bit from a recent interview with UVA admissions dean and ask if her comments might change your view about taking the LSAT five times. She said, 5 times taking the LSAT to get the score you want means less to me slightly than taking it once. And that's just because I always tell people, you don't get to take your contracts exam 5 times. And everybody has a bad day. And I do think because schools take the highest now, there's this kind of thought process that you can take it as many times as you want. Well, all I'm saying is it sort of has diminishing returns the more times you take it, because it demonstrates slightly less to us that you're going to come and just knock it out of the park in law school. It might demonstrate a little bit of test anxiety or gaming the system, if you will. So definitely if you have a horrible day, retake it, but too many LSATs can be a red flag for me."
All right, so Dean Blazer is essentially saying that if she reads an application with lots of LSAT attempts, it doesn't totally diminish the value of your highest score, right? But it might raise a red flag to an admissions committee that maybe you struggle with test taking, or maybe you weren't ready to take the test the first time you started, or maybe even the third time if you had to keep taking it so often. So I guess my question to you, Delia, just to get our initial thoughts here is, does this change your advice? Would you start telling people, now that you've heard Dean Blazer say this, hey, maybe don't take the LSAT as many times?
My short answer would be no. I don't think I would change my advice to people. However, I do want to say that with the caveat that we strongly, at LSAT Demon, we strongly advise that you shouldn't take the LSAT until your practice tests reflect your ability anyways. And that should prevent you from having to take the test 5 times from the get-go. But again, my short answer would be no.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think we could honestly probably end the podcast there. But I think we're both admissions nerds. So I think it's worth it to dive into the comment a little bit deeper and to sort of pick out some of that nuance, because we're talking, right, about like an echelon of school that is the best, right? UVA is a top 10 school. When you are such an incredible institution, I think that your admissions practices are going to mean that every single part of an application matters. And I could see how perhaps having four takes could raise an eyebrow. And it's actually not the first time I've heard this. I spoke with an old Harvard Law School admissions officer a few months ago, and she said the same thing, that after 3 takes, it does raise some eyebrows, right? It's not to say that it completely gets rid of how impressive that final high score might be, but it is something that they consider. But I think really what we're talking about is Dean Blazer here is commenting on something that applicants want to know, right? Like, they want to know, if I keep taking it, is that going to look bad for me? And I think her answer is getting to the point of, yeah, it might not look super awesome, but I still think that an applicant who continues to retake the LSAT because they have a target school, let's say Princeton Law School, and if Princeton's median is a 172 and you're 4 takes in and you're not at or above a 172, but you get there with the 5th take, you finally get to a 173, I think you're going to do better at Princeton Law School with 5 takes and a 173 than you're going to do with 4 takes or 2 takes with a score that's below the median.
Yeah, I completely agree. I mean, a high LSAT score, even if it takes you 5 times to get there, ultimately shows that you're smart and you're driven and you're capable. And I think that means you're probably going to fare well in law school. And at the end of the day, schools still want to raise their medians. That is their goal in the way that the game, if you want to call it that, is played now. And only an applicant's highest score is taken into consideration when medians are calculated. So all of that to say, I can see how it could be something like a super soft factor on your application, but I think I wouldn't stress so much about this advice. And also on the flip side, I think multiple takes could just as easily be seen in a positive light, depending on the application reader. Like, if you go from a 145 to like a 177 on your 4th take, then what I would see if I was reading that application is someone that's committed and someone that really wants it and is able to persevere. And I think those traits are critical in law school as well. So,
Yeah, I mean, we have people, teachers, our peers at LSAT Demon who've taken it 5 times, and they are some of the most incredible people that I know. So I totally agree that it sort of depends which way you want to view this as sort of a negative or a positive. And that's why we stress so much not to start taking official exams until you're already practice testing within your goal range. But I mean, if we want to think about like when this minutia of like a super soft, which I think that's a perfect way to phrase it, would really come into play. Well, my gut is that it would only really matter if they're on the fence about your application. So if they're a little bit unsure, they don't know which way to go, could them looking at 5 takes potentially sway them? I don't think it would sway them to one decision over another, but it might be considered. Whereas I think if your application is a slam dunk and you have 5 takes, they're not going to think twice about it. And vice versa, if your application sucks, they don't care if you have 1 take and a great score, they are not going to let that sway them toward an acceptance over a rejection, right? So I think it is really great to be thinking this way as an applicant, because especially when you're shooting for that very best school with the really low admissions rate, the more that you can start to think like someone on an admissions committee, the better. And like Delia, I mean, both of us say all of this with a grain of salt, right? Like we are not experts. We've gone through this cycle. I said we're admissions nerds. We love to learn about admissions things, and it's been really fun, I think, for us to, as much as they allow us, get a peek behind the curtain at what your application goes through after you've hit submit. But we're not in the rooms. So this is really our best guess about how they view this. And like Delia said, it wouldn't surprise me at all if some schools feel the opposite way as UVA. And some schools think that if you took it 5 times and ended up with a killer score, that just shows that you're capable of working your ass off in law school.
The only way I can see that this really coming into play, this super soft factor, if we want to call it that, because I think that's a good way to phrase it, is again, like you said, if they're unsure of your application, if you have a major character and fitness issue, if you're already below both medians, or if you've already like raised some other kind of red flag in your application or during the recruiting process, I can see where maybe that might like taking the LSAT 5 times might push you over the edge at that point to them saying like no and rejecting your application. But I don't think that alone is going to do it. And I think it would have to be in combination with something else that they also don't like.
Yeah, I completely agree. But I think we've started to hit on something that I think is interesting to discuss. And it's how do you, when you go into this application cycle, you're an applicant, right? Like, you know what's in your application and that's it. How do you start to think about your application more objectively? Because it all feels so personal, right? This is you, like you're bearing your soul sometimes, or at least your experience and your scores to try to get an acceptance. So how do you start to take a step back from your application and say, is this good? Should I talk about this? Is my personal statement working? What tips or tricks or advice have you listened to as you went through the process?
Yeah, I think so. My best general advice, and it's going to sound vague, but I'll clarify. I think the phrase "think like an adcom" is so important and relevant. And it might seem vague, but there are ways that you can do this. And like we've touched on, every school is a little bit different, right? But the best way to figure out what a school wants is from that school. And so many different adcoms nowadays have podcasts. They'll do webinars. They have blogs. So I would just recommend, and this is what I did when I was starting my cycle, was I would just listen to everything and read everything and do everything admissions related that I could to try to get as much information as I could, especially when I was looking at specific schools, right? So I applied broadly, and I know you did as well. And there can be conflicting advice, but for the most part, there's not going to be conflicting advice at a singular school. So if you say you know you want to get into Harvard, the dean at Harvard and the dean at Yale have a podcast called Navigating Law School Admissions, and I would use that to get advice from them for my Harvard and Yale applications. And I really think that there's no better way to figure out what adcoms want than listening to adcoms and tailoring your application ever so slightly to what each school is looking for. And it's not like you can't figure that out, right? Like it it's there for you. You just have to do a little bit of digging.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, since UVA was kind of the topic of this podcast, the UVA Dean, Dean Blazer, has a podcast, and she and the other admissions people at UVA talked about how important, for instance, this new resilience question has been on their application. This is brand new. Mm-hmm. And I think it's like maybe 300 characters, something like that. It's a pretty short answer, a short essay. But they said this is really the first piece of writing that we see from you in the way that we look through applications. And so this is where you make your big first impression. So it's little things like that that you wouldn't think about as an applicant when you're just, you know, filling out the forms, filling out the applications, that can have such a big impact when it's being read by a reader. So I would highly recommend listening to podcasts, doing all of that work. But the most important work should be behind you, right? You should have your absolute best GPA. You should have your absolute best LSAT. And then after that, you should have your absolute best pieces of writing that you have ever completed, right? Like, your personal statement should be flawless. And one way to sort of protect yourself is, some people make this huge mistake, right? Where they will talk about a school in their personal statement, and then they will send that personal statement to a school with the wrong name, right? So it'll say, hey, Princeton, I'm so excited to go to you. And you send that to Harvard. And Dean Blazer said that's an automatic rejection at UVA, or in most cases it is, because it shows a real lack of care and effort. And it also shows that, like, if you cared that much about my school, you wouldn't have left another school's name on there. So I don't think Delia and I can stress enough how important it is to get multiple people to reread every single piece of writing that you submit, to get really tough feedback, right? Because if you're talking about things or coming across in a way that's unflattering, no matter your stats, every single school in the top 14 at least denies people with great stats every single year. And it's because they shot themselves in the foot somewhere, right? Or they just didn't show that they were worthy or special or had any interests or were an actual real person. So we all know, and I'm sure they do too, that every person that applies has a unique and interesting story, but it's your job to show them what that is. And you do that through the writing. So the work does not end after the LSAT, but you have to get through that LSAT to begin the work on that writing.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it was the dean of admissions at Yale on their podcast that said something like, admissions is an exercise in good judgment. And mm-hmm. I think that is so true. So make good judgments, put care into your application, reread and reread and reread your materials. And I think as long as you're putting care into your materials and putting your best foot forward, you're going to be fine if you have the LSAT and the GPA and all those things that you need on the forefront.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, there are always cases of great stat applicants getting denied. And there are also likewise cases of people who had stats on the cusp or even below that write their way into a law school. So mm-hmm. if that's you, I would say shoot your shot, right? Like, listen to these deans, talk to them, start making real relationships, because these are people, right? It's just people like you and me reading these applications. So make a real conscientious effort to get to know them, to get to know the institution. And if you do all of that, you might not have a perfect cycle, but you're going to end up exactly where you're meant to be. And that's what it's all about. Delia, any last thoughts here?
Honestly, no. As corny as it sounds, I think on the admission side of things, like, being you is the best thing that you can be, really. And just show them the best you that you can show them. And obviously show them the best LSAT score and the best GPA, and you're going to be fine.
Yeah, I love that. I think that's part of what goes into an admit, right? It's like, they don't want to admit a stereotype or an archetype, right? Like, in writing, if your character is totally flat and lifeless, it's not very interesting. So show them who you are. Show them why you're going to come to their school and kick some serious butt. And part of that is in the hard stuff and the hard stats. And part of that is in the soft stuff and your writing. And bring that all together. And we're really excited to see where your cycle goes. So, all right. Well, email daily at lsatdemon.com if you'd like to ask us a question or share some LSAT or law school admissions news. Thanks for listening.